You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Steph.
We are 7 episodes deep at this point. Can you believe it?
I honestly can't. It's been a lot of fun, and we are learning a lot as we grow.
Yeah, we're trying to learn, trying to adapt, because when you're making a new show, you haven't really found an audience yet.
You have to be nimble.
Yes.
You have to give the audience what they tell you that they need from the show rather than what you thought they needed.
Exactly. Before we get into all that, I want to just ask you, what has been your favorite episode?
My favorite episode was probably the one about having a social life in this economy, because first of all, I really like the guest, Shannon Lee Simmons. And second of all, I think it's something that a lot of people feel guilty about, or something that a lot of people deny themselves, and they still are going to be worried about their finances anyway. And I'm all about spending money to give yourself joy, because you can't take it with you.
Is there something like that that you've spent money on recently?
I spent a lot of money. I actually spent a lot of money to go see a concert this summer. I hadn't gone to a concert in a while, and one of my favorite artists came to town, and even the cheap seats were $100, but we went anyway, and it was a great show, and I didn't think twice about it. And I don't usually think twice about that kind of stuff, assuming that it's not going to really cripple the family budget, which thankfully it didn't. I think that things you will remember and things you will think back on fondly months later, like Shannon said in the episode, are worth a lot more than the things you just spend money on through force of habit and don't even think about a day later.
Yeah, I feel like I only regret those things when they sit on the credit card for too long.
That's the get out of debt episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're all connected.
What about buying a car episode? That one so far is performing the best. Why do you think it's doing so well?
I think it's incredibly good and practical advice from an incredibly engaging guest. I'm a big believer in service journalism and in giving people what it says on the wrapper. And we did an episode called Healthy in This Economy, and I think some people may not have checked it out because it's not immediately clear what you're getting from that episode title. Whereas this one performs well because if you see it and you're interested in buying a car, you know exactly what you're going to get. Help doing that. And I also think that the shortages of automobiles and the incredibly high prices have created an environment where there are a lot of people who have been maybe hoping or wanting to think about purchasing a vehicle over the past few years and haven't really been able to do it because they haven't been able to save up enough money, or they simply haven't been able to find the car that they want. So if it's one of those things that a lot of people might have had rolling around in the back of their heads for quite some time, this seems like an incredibly practical way to do it. And that's what drives that behavior. And I think we can take that away and use it to make this show better.
Yeah. And I think we're already kind of having talks about that. We're planning a similar style episode about buying a condo.
Right.
In this economy coming up. So
the box in the sky episode, as I'm calling it.
That'll be a good one for sure. But you love looking at the stats.
I do.
What else have you learned about how we can make the show even better in the new year?
The first one, as I just mentioned, is to label the episodes very clearly so people understand what they are and what they're getting. The second is to not think, and this is kind of counterintuitive maybe because there's a tendency in the podcast world to like want to do everything and make it accessible to absolutely everyone, but not to worry too much about making it the broadest possible episode, because when that happens, you lose a little bit of specificity that somebody who actually does have this real problem is seeking. People who are coming to us for financial advice and for clear direction on how to achieve goals that they've got deserve practical steps to take that can help them get there. And as we say all the time, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to do it. Some things are really difficult and that's not your fault. But if you can't come out of an episode of this show without a couple of concrete things that will help you get there eventually, then maybe we're not doing that right. And I think the other thing that I've learned is the show is more fun when the guests are fun and when I'm having fun, because money can be a very emotional and often depressing and dour thing to talk about in this economy. And if we can all kind of have a rueful chuckle at the very least at our various situations, I know I come out of it feeling better. I hope our listeners come out of it feeling a little bit better. And yeah, that's one of the things, I mean, you and I talked about that we wanted to make sure that this show represented. Like, we're all in this together. It's not easy on any of us. And let's talk about it with humor and empathy.
Mm-hmm. Even if we are coming at it from different situations.
Well, that's what we're about to talk about now, right? You wanted to talk about some of the feedback we've gotten. And I think it's important to talk about this.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to read a comment from a listener that we got. I've shortened it. This person writes, "The quit my job in this economy episode was pretty insulting and kind of tone deaf. Sam decided that she wants to quit being a computer programmer and take up music. She's making a comfortable $150,000 a year. The average Canadian makes $60,000 a year, and the average Canadian doesn't have savings."
That's all true. Sort of.
Yeah, I think I looked it up and the average annual salary in Canada is a little bit higher, 65,000. But still, I get the point here. But I think it's a good opportunity to talk about like why we decide to share financial information.
You want me to be brutally honest about why we share financial information?
Yeah, why not?
It's a way into the show. It's a hook. And there's a reason that, and I'm not hating on these columns or podcasts at all, because people clearly like them. There's a reason that those money reports or money columns that take you inside someone's wallet and often get piled on because, like, this person is making $250,000 and they can't decide whether or not to buy a vacation property can come across as tone deaf. But we also are all voyeurs. We like to hear about other people's financial situations. We're interested in it. Whether or not it makes us happy to hear about it is like another thing entirely. Like, we're very curious. It's human nature. Think about if you'd like to know how much your coworkers make or how much your friends make or how much they have in their savings account. I bet you'd love to know that stuff. You wouldn't be, hopefully, so rude as to ask them outright. But if you found out that they were on a show like this, and they were opening up their wallet and showing the world their expenses, you would tune in. So selfishly, that's why we do it. That's one of the reasons we do it, because it makes a compelling way in. You get to hear about another person who has different finances than yours. The second reason that we do it is to create a baseline, to provide context to the advice that follows. Because if you're going to be discussing what somebody should do, you need to know where they are. And you need to know, if you're a listener, where you can place yourself on that spectrum. Also, if you are listening to this show, and I'll tell you, I mean, I don't have to tell you, Steph, because you did it, but you wrote back to that person and said, you know, sorry, you feel that way. What did you say? You tell us.
I just thank them for writing in, honestly, because even if it's, you know, critical feedback, we're happy to read it. And we're happy to try and adjust and take what we can from it. And I invited this person to write in with their own problem. So if you hear an episode and it doesn't quite help you in your specific situation, great, give us your feedback. And then also write in with your specific problem so that we can find an expert who can help you.
And then there will be somebody else who listens to that episode that helps you and says, what the hell? That's tone deaf to me. What do these guys think they're doing? I'm only making $30,000 a year. And then the cycle of life continues.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it just provides good and interesting context to the episode. So we're not sharing it to be like, this is the baseline. Everyone is making this amount of money. We're just giving context to the caller's financial situation.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to the next one. So this is
the only one-star review we got so far.
Yeah. Before I read this one, I just want to tell people to go and rate the podcast in your podcast player if you can.
And review it. Write something about what you like about it, what you don't like about it, what we could do to make it better. Because as this episode is hopefully demonstrating, we really listen to that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So this person commented, they left a one-star review and they wrote, "Was excited and looking forward to a practical podcast of how to be successful in the current Canadian economy. couldn't even finish the first episode, which was essentially sponsored content for a Tinder-like real estate co-ownership app. Expected better. So I wanted to share this and talk about it so we could explain a little bit, like, what is sponsored content, how we make money from the show, and just peel back the curtain and talk about ads and advertising on the show.
First of all, the first episode was obviously not sponsored by a Tinder-like real estate co-ownership app. We talked to the people who made that app because it was a great way to talk about co-ownership in order to get at the bigger problem of why individual homeownership is so unachievable and what other possible solutions there are out there. There are co-ownership solutions, lots of them that don't involve this app, but those tend to be ones that you already have. People you know, friends that you're willing to trust and go in on that with, different generations of family members. As we said in the episode, co-ownership is not it's not that scary and is actually practiced in many ways and in many cultures, but we wanted to offer people who have never encountered the idea before a way to explore it. And this is an interesting app that was launched and is available in Canada, and its founders offered a great discussion of the principles of co-ownership, but they didn't pay us any damn money. So no, not sponsored content. But to answer your question, like, what is sponsored content? Sponsored content is stuff that will show up, maybe, if somebody pays us for it, in the pre-roll ads, in the mid-roll ads, and in the post-roll ads. It will be in the advertising parts of the podcast. I hope that you will listen to it, because when we do sponsored content, Steph and I are involved in coming up with the concept behind it, making sure we think that it will be useful to our listeners, making sure that we agree with the approach to it, and that we think it's a useful addition to the show. The difference between that, of course, and advertising being that advertising is simply paid for and it's either a script that I read or it's a commercial that you hear, and it's not really a part of the show. If you hear sponsored content, it'll usually start with me saying, hey, it's Jordan, and then we'll talk about something that, again, we hope you find interesting, but it'll be in commercial time. Just to make clear, we never have and never will, and I say this for the big story as well, let advertisers dictate the content of the show. If we are doing a particular show and it's a great fit for an advertiser and they want to buy advertising in it, they are welcome to do so. We encourage them to do so. That's amazing. The advertisers on this show will never choose the guests. They will never choose the direction of the question. They will receive no approval or even heads up or even get to look at any of the stuff that we're actually creating until it's out there. Like, this is the same way when I was a journalist. We would never send a source the article before you publish it. It's just not done. That doesn't happen here. I don't know, because podcasting is vast and broad, I don't know what the rules are for other podcasters, but I treat this show and the big story like I would a newspaper or a magazine or whatever, which is like, you are super welcome to buy ads. We are happy to work with you to make that content relevant to our listeners, but you don't get approval on anything that goes in the actual show. You just don't. And that's widely accepted, and our sales team understands that, and that's how we do business, if you want a little media literacy.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the big story, and I realize I haven't asked you anything about hosting two shows. How is it having a side hustle?
Well, I mean, I'm not actually getting paid anymore, so it's not really a side hustle. It's more just another thing I do, which I am honestly super happy to do. And that's because of the work that, frankly, you, Steph, as well as Ali Graham on this show, and then on The Big Story, Joe Fish and Robin Simon, and of course, our sound design team, our digital editor, all of those people, everybody who touches Frequency, have done to make it so easy for me to do this, you know, to let me focus on, you know, focusing on the stuff that I do best and not having to worry so much about the stuff that you guys do way better than I do anyway. I'm sure every one of you would probably have something to say about stuff that I try to do that you're just like, Jordan, just F off and let me do my job, please.
No.
But you guys make it possible for me to easily host both shows. So yeah, thank you.
You're a great host, Jordan. We love you.
Oh, that's so nice. And we're all we're all one happy family here, especially now that the year's almost over and everyone's going on vacation. We don't have to see each other for a couple weeks.
We can start saying, let's follow up on this in the new year.
Yeah. Kick the can down the road.
Before you go, I want to just do like a fun rapid fire Q&A.
Okay.
So answer as quickly as you can. First thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
What's one thing you regret spending money on this year?
I bought a phone case that was the wrong size for my phone.
Okay. What's one financial mistake you made?
I don't know if I mentioned this in our episode or not. I had a lot of credit card debt when I was younger. I racked up some stupid debt. I was one of those kids that goes off to university and gets a credit card by signing up for something. And then I was like, hey, free money. And I racked up a lot of credit card debt and it followed me around for years. And it wasn't until I got together with my partner, Rosemary, and she set me straight that I really fixed it.
What is the first podcast that you ever listened to?
Oh, God, this is so cliche, but it was Serial.
What word do you have a hard time pronouncing on mic?
Month.
And finally, TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok, but I don't really post unless you are filming me or our digital team is filming me for this show. I don't post, but I do scroll TikTok an awful lot. And Steph, shout out to Steph, who makes amazing cooking videos on TikTok. Let's say that last. If you love good cooking videos, go follow Steph on TikTok. Steph, drop your handle.
At Steph's Dinner Date. But I put this at the bottom because I was hoping that you would shout out like the this economy TikTok.
I'd rather shout out yours than me. Yeah,
you're a TikTok star.
I'm a TikTok star. We even got one comment of somebody who likes me on TikTok. One comment, which is equal to the number of one-star reviews. We are In This Economy Pod on both TikTok and Instagram. You can follow along on your platform of choice. And yes, you will see me on there. Reluctantly, but I'm getting better, but I'm not as good as Steph's Dinner Date.
We're trying to have fun. I think that's all you can do on TikTok.
That's all you can do in this economy.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, thank you so much, Jordan.
You're welcome. See you in the new year. Listeners, stay tuned. As we mentioned, rate, review, do everything you can, and give us feedback because we really, really are listening.